Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.
Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith, your host of the Marriage After God podcast. If we're all being honest, we would recognize that there is a discrepancy between who we are and who we desire to be. And right now, we are going to dive into this idea and find some encouragement along the way.
Would you please take some time today and share this episode on your social media? Share it with your friends, share it with your family, invite them to listen along with you. It'd be an awesome conversation starter. Some people have even taken our podcast and turned them into little Bible studies. They meet with a few couples to go through them. And I think it would be an awesome way to help grow the show, the reach of it. And then lastly, before we move on, we wanted to bring up a new way that we are inviting people to help support this podcast. We don't do ads, if you've noticed. The only ads we talk about our books and our free prayer emails that we send out every day. But one way you can support is you can join the Marriage After God podcast patron team. And what this is a group of husbands and wives all over the country who support this podcast and support our daily prayer emails financially. And if you would like to do that, if this show has blessed you, if you are blessed by our daily prayer emails, we'd love to invite you to join the Marriage After God podcast patron team by going to marriageaftergod.com/patron. That's P-A-T-R-O-N, marriageaftergod.com/patron.
Well, we are in a new year, 2023. Can you believe it?
Do we say 2023 or is it 2023?
Just 23.
Just 23.
Just 23. Happy New Year, everybody. you might be surprised to see us. We're really excited to be here with you guys. Starting out the new year.
Why would they be surprised though?
All fresh. I think because when we finished the last season, which was just in December, we told everyone to look forward to another season launching in the spring.
And it's not the spring.
But hey, it's never too early to dive into a good marriage podcast.
And we're back and we're excited.
Yeah. So instead of doing a seasonal podcast, we thought we'd go all the way back to like we did when we first launched the podcast back in 2018.
Which is crazy.
We had to go back and look it up.
We both didn't realize we started this far back. We thought it was 2019.
So back when we started in 2018, we were doing a weekly episode. And that was really exciting and really great. And then after, I don't know.
I think it was like 75 plus episodes.
I don't remember. We switched it to doing a seasonal thing, which gave us and our family a bit of space in between the seasons, which was really great.
Lots of new babies between then.
Yeah, for sure. So here we are, and we're going to try a new thing, a new old thing.
A new oldie goodie thing.
Well, speaking of oldie goodies, if you are new with us, you can go back to those 2018, 2019 and up episodes if you haven't listened to them and
yeah, there's
a lot
for you there. I was just letting Jennifer know some of the analytics because I like to look at all that data. And one of our episodes, it's called Jesus is Our Passover, has had 58,000 downloads.
Crazy.
So you should definitely go check that one out. And then the last little bit of numbers I want to throw out there. We've just last episode of the last season, we broke 3 million downloads.
Wow.
Of our podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, happens because you all who listen to this podcast. So thank you.
Okay, so what can everyone enjoy from us this next year? I should rephrase that. What are people going to want to tell their friends when they talk about our podcast?
Hopefully good things. hard
good things
sometimes. But I think I'd love for people to say that we're real.
Yeah.
That we like to be honest, that we're not in any way experts, but definitely experts at sharing our story.
I was going to say funny. Like, I want them to say, hey, this podcast is really funny.
We do like to laugh a lot.
I think I'm funny.
Words like relatable, truthful. Those are things that we desire to be as podcast hosts, sharing this content with you all.
Yeah. And on a more serious note, I would want them to tell their friends what they say doesn't matter. It's what God says through them. Like when his word comes out of them, it's just really good.
It's a prayer I often pray before I teach is, Lord, let it be your words, not mine.
Exactly. If anything, it'll be a good dose when you guys follow along this year of, oh yeah, or good idea, or ouch, I need to work on that. For the purpose of encouraging all of us to pick up our Bibles and pursue our spouse, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, we actually say these things about our own content because when we're preparing these and thinking these are things that we're going through. So we actually feel the same way sometimes. So,
yeah. Okay, so let's do that now. Let's get into this very interesting topic we have here today.
And we're in December, and a lot has happened since
you just say we're in December?
No, we're not in December.
We were just
out of December, but a lot of stuff's been going on.
Yeah,
since we ended the season.
Yeah. I will say in December, it was challenging for us. We kicked it off with being sick as a family and really sick. And that was terrible. What was most terrible about it is it's the beginning weeks of December is like you're just starting to have Christmas festivities. At least I am with the kids. And I was super bummed to like miss out on those things.
Yeah, but we got to make some of it up because there were some really fun things that we got to do. We got to make sugar cookies.
Always.
And we love cookies in this family.
They don't last very long.
No, we eat them all cookies. Like the same day. Usually I eat most of the dough before it makes it into the oven.
I had to wait till we got like much better before I jumped into that one. We also, did you already say this, make gingerbread houses?
Mm-mm, I didn't say okay. it. Okay. No, but I was thinking of gingerbread men, which we'll talk about in a second.
We will?
Well, how would we dress up for Christmas party?
We went sledding, Christmas shopping.
Yeah, we did all the things, even though it was a pretty heavy with sickness. Once we got all better, we're like, okay, let's jam it all in. We have to get all the things in before the end of the year.
1.5 weeks, go.
Yeah, so we went to a Christmas party.
It's an annual party that we like to do with our friends.
Yeah, and this one, we don't always dress up, do we? Was this a special one this year?
We just decided. We called it Nacho Average Christmas Party, and it was just so fun.
Yeah, it was. What I dressed up as you dressed me up as
we wanted to go as a couple, and so I was like gingerbread. That's awesome.
But what, you were a pinata?
I was a pinata gingerbread.
And your costume, it took you like days to make because she literally glued
it
all of this. What is that
it was
stuff
like
called?
Streamers
all over her dress, and then I was a ninja bread man.
Yeah, and we were the greatest couple of all time. So
it was amazing. Anyways, that was a lot of fun.
We played like Family Feud. We played some Minute to Win It games.
Mm-hmm.
The Candy Cane Drop. There's some good ones there.
There was a really fun. Anyways, there were fun games.
Oh, the box grab.
Yeah, the box grab one was fun. There was a.
Except you were supposed to let me win, and then you didn't.
One of the wives there was so fast.
She was so fast.
She beat everyone.
Okay, we need to move on here.
Okay.
Okay, amid the hustle of the season and experiencing joy, which we hope you guys all enjoyed over holiday break. We also encountered some back-to-back hard marriage moments, some ways of responding to each other.
Merry Christmas to us.
No, it was hard. And more so, I just want to personally admit that the Lord revealed to me how I was being disrespectful to you, Aaron, and how I was communicating, and I hurt you. And I just, in the midst of those things happening, I also was reminded by looking at my journal that I hadn't been abiding in reading the word consistently throughout December. And I know that that plays a huge role in like how I feed my flesh instead of walking the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just a lot of ups and downs emotionally and some, moments of tension within our relationship that kind of just influenced our experience.
Yeah, and it didn't help that I was also not abiding in Christ really well this last month, in the month of December, and that made my responses not so great to how you were responding to me.
Like we were both irritable and just...
Yeah.
Like sloppy in our relationship.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. But the Lord's good, and he showed us and reminded us that we need to have grace with one another, that reconciliation is so important, and we came back together and got through these things.
And God using that situation like he has in the past with other situations to show us that there's change that he desires in us, that he's not okay with where we're at because he desires better for us, and we're not okay where we're at because we desire better for us.
It was during those was it like a week and a half, 2 weeks of being up and down together, that the Lord simultaneously put a desire in our hearts to switch the podcast from being put off till spring to doing, to launching it in the new year and doing this weekly thing. And I think that's, it's not, I was going to say funny. It's not funny, but, you know, dealing with
communication,
well, dealing with communication issues and then going, hey, let's be professional communicators
about,
just
about our
little,
marriage that is grabbing our time with
you. And you know, I always see in hindsight a lot better, but I was telling you this, Aaron, that, once we made that decision to launch the podcast, being reminded that we have an enemy that doesn't like what we're doing, like he's like, nah, I'm going to sabotage that one.
Well, all the more why we're called to put on the full armor of God and to not be lax in our vigilance in our faith.
To guard ourselves better.
Yep.
And our marriage.
And I wasn't, you weren't. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of that was evident.
Yeah. So being professional communicators here, we are not exempt from the ways of the flesh. Just because we run a podcast, like there's times that Aaron and I are mean to each other. There's times that we can be selfish. There's times that I am disrespectful or, you know, struggle with submission and struggle with the things that I want versus what you want. And we clash.
Both of us just struggling with
irritability,
being Christian, just walking in God's spirit and being more fleshly than spiritual. Which comes out of us when we're not abiding in Christ and when we're feeding the wrong thing in us, as everyone listening would understand, because we all do it. So, we're not exempt at all.
In recognizing that we struggle with communication at times, I get down because I think there's no way we can do a podcast, you know,
or
we can
worthy.
Share with others. Yeah, that unworthiness thing, to which you and others in my life say, because God doesn't use perfect people.
It's true.
And you reminded me of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Which is funny because often we don't boast in the weakness. We we boast about being strong. And then when we feel weak, we're like, oh, we can't do this.
So here we are confessing that we're weak and we desire the power of Christ to rest upon us. Right? That's the only reason I know I can sit here and be doing this right now. So,
well, and it's good because we need people to know that we too, like them, need Jesus.
Yeah, always.
All the time, yeah.
I also want to admit that this is hard for me. The tension of perception and how I want others to view me as if I am perfect. Like if I am going to do this podcast and I'm going to be sharing with people, then I want them to see me as someone who does walk rightly or does know what she's talking about.
And doesn't make mistakes.
It doesn't make mistakes. But the truth is, the reality is, I am still learning and I am still growing. We are. And we still have great days and we still have harder days. We still walk in righteousness and we still are confronted by our sin.
Well, and God also used these moments, this time of struggle between us to remind us that one of the things that we prided ourselves in the beginning of this ministry, starting The Unveiled Wife years ago, and later on Husband Revolution, is that we would share the reality of our life and not try and make it sound perfect, but actually show what God's teaching us through our imperfectness. That was something that we prided ourselves in. And we get reminded of it in the middle of our brokenness. We're like, oh, that's what we need to be open with that stuff.
So I guess that's the first little bit of discrepancy right there. But we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Before we move on any further, though, into talking about the main topic, I just wanted to remind everyone again one more time. If you enjoy this episode, if you any episode, actually, instead of just leaving a review on the podcast, for the podcast as a whole, which I'd love for you to do if you wanted to. We thought it'd be awesome if you guys would leave us reviews for individual episodes. Let us know which one you love, why you love it, what maybe if there's something in it that stood out to you. And I just think that would add a lot of value to people reading the reviews and looking for why they should listen to these podcasts. So if you could do that, if you could take 5 minutes today and do that, we would really appreciate it.
I wanted to share something that we experienced kicking off the first week of January with our church family. Mm-hmm. Was it the first of the year? It was the first of the year.
Yeah. It was the first Sunday of the
first Sunday
first day
of the year. We thought it would be cool to, well, all the men decided to come prepared to share desires that they had, hopes that they had for our church. And we do home church, so we've talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
And so we have an intimate group of a handful of families with a lot of children.
We have about 10 families, yeah.
And so we kind of just popcorned around and different people shared different, just hearts, desires to see growth in our church. Some said, you know, to see more dedicated prayers of first response to circumstance, resting in the Lord, regardless of circumstance. So being able to have that peace and that rest. There was a ton of affirmations of giftings and roles that people have that we see in each other. There was a desire for more growth and maturity, and there was this like a remembering that we have influence and a role to fulfill within the body. And I think that it was so cool as a church to be able to walk through all of that and hear what everybody thought about fellowshipping together and what they hope it looks like in the future. And
yeah,
did you love it?
It was really encouraging to hear from the hearts of the everyone there, all of our friends, but our whole church, of what they want to see from themselves, from our church, but really, like, what is God doing with us? Mm-hmm. What does he desire from us as a church? And so that was really encouraging. We got to pray about it as we went. So, like, someone would bring something up, like, I'd love to see, you know, this. I'd love to see our fellowship operate this way, or the men do this, or the women do this, or whatever it is. And then we would just stop and pray about it. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, Lord, show us, reveal these things to us, give us wisdom. And lead us, essentially. Yeah.
What I loved about the experience is usually at the end of the year, like, we'll talk about our dreams and our, you know, hopes for our marriage or
our
business.
Did it this time.
But our church did it this time, and it just felt really refreshing, I think.
Well, it's encouraging, too, to know. It was cool to hear everyone's hearts. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Everyone's, in some levels, aligned. And then in others, like, wow, there's some things that we can grow together in.
It was super cool. Well, I kept personally hearing this word. Like, I just felt like God was encouraging me with this one word.
This is like this idea a lot of people have of a word for the year, that sort of thing.
Which I've done in the past, but I don't do it every year. But I kept hearing this word, and I'm like, okay, God, like, why don't you just walk me through this one this year? But the word became the theme for today's episode. And the word's discrepancy, and just, I don't know why I've been so sensitive toward this word, but it's been really cool to kind of dig in and say, okay, God, what does it mean? What does it look like in my life, and why is it important?
Yeah, and this word came out of I don't know what you were looking for, but like you were doing some sort of research, probably for this episode or for yourself, but you
I think it started because I was trying to look up Bible verses that have to do with discrepancy, but it didn't quite turn out that way. And then I went on a rabbit trail.
But it was cool. You came across this article about this concept of self-discrepancy theory. Mm-hmm. And you read me some of the stuff from the article, and you told me, I was like, wow, that's a really cool thought, mm-hmm. The way they describe it.
Yeah, on Wikipedia, it states that, according to self-discrepancy theory, that individuals compare their actual self to internalized standards or the ideal or ought self. So self-discrepancy is the gap between two of these self-representations that leads to negative emotions.
Yeah, so that's the definition of self-discrepancy theory, which we're not necessarily going to dig into this specifically, but it got us on this journey of like, okay, what discrepancies are there between the two selves of us, who we desire to be in Christ and who we are today.
Who we actually are.
Who we actually are, because
how we operate.
That's where this word discrepancy comes in, is you know, for you, you might see yourself as supposed to be or want to be this one way, but then a different person comes out in the day to day. And the same for me. I see myself or want to be this way or should be biblically this way. And yet I'm this person over here.
Yeah. And that gap or that tension, the definition was saying, leads to negative emotions. Those negative emotions can be like depression, anxiety, or struggling in that space of thinking like, I'll never change. You know, and that's frustrating.
Which we feel, because I mean, that's what you felt. You're like, why do I keep doing this? Why does this keep happening? And we've all asked these questions. I've tried so hard and I never change. Why can't I be this person?
Or maybe you do experience like incremental changes, but not in this one particular area, you know, or maybe, or you have experienced a lot of change in a lot of different areas, but then it comes back and you're struggling again. And yeah, it's just hard life.
Well, and this is, this is normal for the human condition.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into this more in a little bit, but God knows this about us because we have ideals or, versions of ourselves that we believe should exist in the real world, but yet we are who we are now, and it's not that person.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that by saying perceptions projected when we're in front of one group of people or someone else, but, you know, at home, we're someone else.
Well, and this is probably going to be another episode. Yeah, or we might talk about this, but that, yeah, when we pretend to be that projected person, that person over there, that's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because we aren't that person.
Right.
We act like we are, but we're not.
Yeah. Okay, so another definition from Merriam-Webster says, an instance of disagreeing or being at variance.
Being at variance.
I know these are kind of like more technical terms, but I kind of like taking things like this and applying it to like spiritual.
Well, being at variance, I just literally thought of this. It made me think of how we're supposed to be one. But when we are at odds with each other, we're at variance with each other, we're not unified. And there's a discrepancy. There's a like, oh, we're like split.
Yeah.
Versus
fused.
Being balanced or
balanced,
in harmony.
Yeah.
Disagreeing.
This was something else I looked up in my little search. Percent discrepancy or error. The discrepancy in a measured quantity for an instrument is the difference between its measured value and true value. The difference between these values is known as the absolute error, which I love that, absolute error. When I read that, I was like, well, it's an absolute error when God's word says to be a respectful wife, and then I'm disrespectful.
So something should weigh X, but when it's measured at Y.
So, yeah. So if God's word is the measure by which we live, what is the difference between that and how I choose to respond and act?
Well, absolute error.
It's an absolute error.
Yeah. Well, and this is,
I love that.
This is why this is where the gospel comes in, right? When we recognize we are actually in absolute error because we are not living up to the standard, the actual true measure, the true value, which is Christ. We're in absolute error. That's really good.
All interesting things here, guys. Okay, so Google, when I Googled, you know, sometimes they have these questions pop up. It said, how do you identify discrepancy? And then this was the response. Identifying discrepancies in data is simple. You compare two data sets for the same period of time and look for numbers that don't match up. So again, kind of technical, but let's dig a little deeper here.
Yeah.
The real challenge is understanding what caused the discrepancies and how to reconcile them.
No, we just want to see that there is.
So.
Because that's too much.
With the Lord.
How do we get to that number?
Right. With the Lord putting this word discrepancy on my heart, this is where I'm at for the year. The challenge for me is to understand what causes the discrepancies. Well, I guess identifying them, but what caused the discrepancies and then how do I reconcile them?
Which this is a good question for all of our listeners and a good recognition. We all can see easily the discrepancy in our walks. I know when I'm not in the word, like, oh, there's a discrepancy. I believe the word, but I'm not in it. Like you said, you know, you should respect and submit to me based off of what the Bible says.
Yeah.
But there's a difference in how we respond. I know I'm supposed to love you sacrificially and I don't. And so that's easy to see. But like you said, the why does that exist, and how did we get to that point?
And how do we move past them?
And how do we reconcile the numbers on the sheet?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the harder thing, for sure.
Something I think God wants me to be paying attention to is, are the differences I see when I compare who I am to who I want to be according to his word? And when I see it, when I see it, I get frustrated. I don't know about you. You said it's easy to see. I'm like, I get so frustrated because I'm like, who I want
to
be.
This goes back to that discrepancy theory. How you respond to the discrepancy is based off of whether you have an ideal or an ought. And I think you see that person as an ought. Like, I should be this person, but I'm not. Why not? And so you're frustrated and anxious about it.
So I want to answer the question, how do I reconcile those differences to become one and the same?
I think when you were asking me this question earlier, I was thinking, well, if we have the wrong definition of the person we're trying to be, then we'll never be able to
that's true.
Reconcile.
Yeah.
So if I'm like, well, I need to be this person, Jennifer B. Jennifer version B is who I need to be. But reality is Jennifer B doesn't exist without Christ. So there is no Jennifer B in the picture unless there's Christ in the picture. And so, like you said, when we're not abiding in Christ, when we're not seeking that image, when we're not seeking his righteousness and his kingdom and his those things, then there can be no reconciliation. So I think it's first recognizing.
If the person that we want to become has nothing to do with God's word, like if it's not defined by God's word,
then it's always going to be redefined every moment.
Yeah.
But if we define it the correct way, then we can at least know what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
You know, we're shooting for the you know, Christ and his perfection, which we understand we can't attain on our own. We need him.
Yeah. And when we were talking about this earlier, you said to me, well, there's a fight going on inside of you, and who you want to be, you cannot be on your own. You can't do it.
Yeah, because you're constantly, the who we are today is constantly fighting who we want to be, ought to be tomorrow. So I think the general solution to how do we get from A to B, how do we fill that gap? I think it starts with a surrender. Our current self has to surrender to Christ, the future self, and say, okay, if this is the true value, what you say, then I need to surrender to that. And that's how we shrink that gap, because there is no perfection to be attained. And I hope that's an encouragement to everyone listening, is we're not talking about like, hey, we can't actually get there. No, I think one day when we're with our Father in heaven, we're going to be with him.
And life
and
is
like him.
And life is the journey and the process every day, inching closer to that.
One, and I think even just a revelation I just had is, instead of trying to constantly be the better me tomorrow, that the journey is we're constantly moving toward Christ.
Or recognizing his power in us.
Yeah. So instead of always feeling like a failure because we didn't live up to, you know, whatever we're trying to imagine, we're just constantly moving toward him. Paul says it really good in Romans 7, verse 24, when explaining this dichotomy between our flesh and the spirit. And he says, "Wretched man that I am," which is how we all feel.
Seriously.
Now,
I suck.
Yeah. "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin." So he's showing this dichotomy of like, I want to serve the law, but I also have my flesh. And he says, who's going to deliver me from this problem? And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I really think you should keep reading, because moving on into 8, it really...
So in chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus."
Which, pause, there's been so many times that I've felt just the guilt and the shame and the full weight of my sin. And you've repeated this verse to me so many times. So husbands, wives, anyone listening, tuck this verse away for when someone needs it. Go ahead.
Well, in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, is freedom. We're set free in Christ Jesus from this bondage that you feel, that I feel, of, oh, I'm not performing right. I'm not fulfilling the law right. I'm not being the person I'm supposed to be right. No, we're set free from that bondage of that. But when we walk in the Spirit, we actually produce the things that the Spirit produces, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a few other verses that came to our mind when considering discrepancy and what does the Bible talk about, you know, and how to identify mm-hmm. that in us. So one of the first ones was Matthew 7:15-20. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, and it starts off talking about false prophets, but I want to get to the point here. So it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Hmm. The point here is it's showing that on the outside, like I said earlier about this hypocrisy, these people show one thing, but on the inside are something else. Mm-hmm. God's telling us when we walk in the Spirit, he changes the inside even before the outside represents what's on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so to bear good fruit, we must walk in the Spirit, which God uses to change us from the inside. Mm. So instead of trying to seek this outward thing, we should be seeking that inward transformation, mm-hmm. which then does actually change us.
Another one is also James 3:9-12. It says, with it we bless our Lord, and our, talking about our tongue, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
Yeah, this is talking about our tongue and our words, but it's showing the discrepancy between things we say on one side of our mouth and things we say on the other side of our mouth. That, you know, we bless God and we curse our brother. We have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts, yet we boast about our altruism and our love for our brother. This is discrepancy. This is something that we deal with. So the fact that we sometimes, we like, oh, I want to be this kind of person, but over here we're okay with using having a discrepancy in the way we speak and the things we say. And that's where, this is another thing where looking at the true value. The true value is what God says, and as the word says right here in James, these things ought not to be so. Mm-hmm. There's a discrepancy that needs to be, a gap that needs to be closed there.
Just going a little personal, is there anything that you've recognized that is like is there discrepancy in you or in something that you've recognized lately?
Yeah, one of the things that you have had an issue in the past, and something that you're recognizing is how you communicate to me. Mm-hmm. I've had the same issue with you. May not be in every circumstances, but when you're having a hard
time.
Your
issue is how I communicate with you?
I'm just kidding. No, how I communicate with you. Mm-hmm. How I respond to you when you communicate to me a certain way. Mm-hmm. Instead of me being self-controlled and doing the right thing, I just do the wrong thing also.
Gets into this cycle, yeah.
But I've realized that, and it's something I have grown in, but I have a problem with the way I've talked to communicate to my children, the way I can communicate to my friends.
Which you've gotten better at.
Yeah, I have.
I just want to affirm you, like you have grown in that.
And I appreciate that, but that's something that God is showing me through this thing that's been going on with us.
Yeah.
And just saying, okay, like God wants to deal with this discrepancy.
He wants to chisel it out of us.
Yeah. He wants to cut it out. There's just kind of, highlighting more of this. I've been listening to a new podcast called Hidden Brain, and I'm really liking it. It just talks about these concepts of how our brains work. He was talking with a guest, the main host, and she said something that reminded me of this. She said there's two versions of ourselves existing at the same time, who we desire to be and who we are. And that's what we've been talking about this. But she called it the present self and the future self. And often...
Do you ever catch yourself like talking to yourself in that way?
I don't. Do you do that?
No. I mean, I'm not going to admit it now.
No, I don't think I talk to my future self.
Okay.
But she said something that was pretty profound, that we often make our future self pay the consequences of our present self's choices.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Like the donuts I eat today are going to affect me.
Yeah. So maybe your future self has to pay the consequences of that current. And this podcast isn't faith-based at all. But she's saying things. I'm like, oh, that's exactly what the Bible says. She's talking about how you want to be healthy. You want to lose weight. You want to, whatever your future self desires. Mm-hmm. But you're like, you want this momentary, fleeting thing. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, I'm going to sacrifice my future self's problems so like today I can have the pleasure. Mm-hmm. Instead of sacrificing the pleasure today so that you can enjoy the pleasure later. And so
it's good.
It was reminding me of everything that you were talking about with this. Mm-hmm. And then I heard this episode and I was like, that's exactly what we're going through is we sacrifice our future selves. We make them pay the consequence of our current actions.
And just so I don't sound crazy, I immediately got that thought in my mind of how people write those letters to their 17-year-old self or, you know, going back.
Like talking to your past self maybe? Or?
Yeah, going back and forth.
You're not crazy. I'm sure there's a lot, everyone listening. There was probably a bunch of people that are like,
I don't talk to myself.
No, but having conversations with your future self, I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't usually think that far ahead, but that's also a problem. I need to think a little bit further
ahead. Think ahead.
Yeah.
All right, where are we at?
So we're getting closer to the end of this, but I think the idea, what I love about God and his word is the Bible is very clear and honest about who we are as humans.
That's what I was going to say, is honest.
It's honest. So honest. Like it's a mirror. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword cutting through the bone and marrow, and no one's hidden from it. Like, and you read the word, when you truly read it and you look at it, you see your truest self. Mm. You're like, oh my goodness. I'm absolute error. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
But you also see the truth of who you are in Christ.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is God created us and totally understands that we go through this stuff.
Yeah.
And what I love is it tells us that Jesus himself, he was tempted in every way common to man. Mm-hmm. So all these things that we're tempted with feeling guilty about this or that, tempted with knowing that we, you know, wanting to do something this way. He's felt those temptations. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't sin. He understands us. Mm-hmm. Romans 7:18, here's a good example. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Again, this is Paul talking about this. The Bible knows that there's nothing good in us in our flesh alone. Mm-hmm. But we do have the desire. God's like, he sees this split. He sees this chasm. But what's awesome is with Christ, we can.
Yeah.
Christ even says, he says, it's good that I go away, because if I go away, then God will send you the helper, his Holy Spirit. He sent him specifically to be our helper because he knows we need help so much with everything in life.
And when we yield to his authority and we yield to his headship in our lives, we do see transformation.
Yeah.
Aaron has to remind me of this because sometimes I get cloudy in my woe is me. I'm so sad that I haven't changed yet. And you remind me of the good that's come. You remind me of the transformation that we've already made.
Well, and I remind you that you have changed.
Yeah.
That who you are today.
That's not who it was.
Is a stark contrast to who you were 10 years ago. And you'd be proud of the woman you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's so hard for us to see clearly. We think we do, but we don't.
We don't.
That's true.
Marriage tip number one. Yeah. We don't see clearly. Okay, so with this being a word that I'm going to be committing to dwelling on this year, a few questions came to my mind. And I don't necessarily have the answers to serve alongside these for you just yet. But more so, I'm just like posing the questions and asking God to help me dig a little deeper in order to be refined or chiseled.
And these are questions we want them to consider.
Yeah. Why don't you guys take the opportunity to just let it soak in and ask yourselves the same thing. So the first one is there a discrepancy in my spiritual walk between the things that I say I believe and what I actually believe? And this is where doubt really gets at me. This is where I know that I know that it comes out in my actions, because I'm going to do what I believe, right?
And so I believe this, but I do this other thing. Really, right. I don't believe that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's identifying.
That's a discrepancy.
The first thing. Yeah. Okay. Another question is, in my marriage, do I have a double standard? I love you, but, or serve me, but I can't serve you. Do I have that mentality? Do I make commitments and say them to you, but don't carry them out? That's discrepancy in marriage.
Yeah.
Do I perceive myself to be a submissive wife, but am I? Do I have that integrity in me to be able to answer that truthfully? And then the last one is, when it comes to parenting, you know, am I?
Oh, that's a good one. This is convicting for me.
Am I telling my kids to be kind, but I'm not being kind? Or even in small things like, no, you can't have that, or you can't watch that TV right now, and then
not following through.
Not following through and immediately letting them. So that's just silly examples, but it happens. Mm-hmm. The other part of parenting is, am I sharing with other moms like examples or like, hey, you should try this or do that, but I myself am not doing that? Mm-hmm. And it just makes me think like absolute error.
Well, and these questions are good for the husbands to be asking also. Yeah. I mean, they just need to change some of the details, but we should be asking these questions of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I have one more. I skipped over it. In friendships, am I paying attention to what I'm saying and what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Do I view myself as a good friend, but really in my actions, I'm showing something else?
Yeah.
So
this is, it's a good thing for us to ask the Lord. Say, you know, Lord, show us, see if there's any wicked way in us, as David prayed. You know, to find those things in us and help us change, God. Mm-hmm. Help change them in us so we can be more like your son, Jesus.
And then, so that was kind of like the group of questions for, you know, relationships that I'm dealing with. And then bottom line is, how do these discrepancies hurt myself and others? And I think that's a really important question to ask, because well, obviously, like, we don't want to go around hurting our spouse or hurting our children or hurting our friends.
Yeah. Well, Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them.
Mm-hmm. I love that contrast of having integrity versus not, and how obvious it is what we should choose.
You know, one's straight and upright and one's crooked, you know, and treacherous. And so when we don't walk in integrity, when we have deep discrepancy, because we all have discrepancy. We all have a distance between who God wants us to be and who we are today. Mm-hmm. But there are things that we can recognize, like those questions you asked, that can actually bring immediate integrity and uprightness into our relationships, versus not having it and just staying where we're at and it causing brokenness and anger. You know, how does it make you feel when we end up in these areas where the discrepancy is actually hurting us?
Yeah, I usually feel discouraged and disappointed and disparaging, like just, well, what's wrong with me? Yeah. You know, I get in my own head and I get down on myself.
Because I remember you telling me in the middle of that discussion where we were like trying to like work through it.
Yeah.
You're like, I feel like I'd never change.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, and that's what I was encouraging. I was like, well, you have changed. Mm-hmm. Right now you don't feel like it, but you have.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest problems is that I'm just looking at myself in those moments. I'm looking at myself and how much I failed. And when we end up staying up late to talk about these things, and you remind me of Romans 8:1, and the comfort that and peace that I get from having anxious thoughts to relying on God's word and letting it seep in, night and day difference.
Well, and I just to close out what we're talking about, a discrepancy in my life. I'm just thinking about what those questions you asked.
Yeah.
Being convicted lately of always encouraging others in the podcast, in my relationships, with you, with my kids, with my friends, to be abiding in God's word. And then I myself don't abide in it that well. I go long periods of time with not getting deep into the word.
Mm-hmm. It's like you do, but you don't.
Yeah. I said this at church on Sunday. We know when we're abiding and when we're not. Mm-hmm. It's not like, maybe I was this week. No, we know. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's that right there, abiding with Christ means that we're next to him. Mm-hmm. So as he walks, we walk. Mm-hmm. When he sits, we sit. When he stands, we stand. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to shrink that discrepancy, then let's walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. Let's abide with him. This is the lifelong solution. Mm-hmm. It's what God desires.
What's really cool about what you just said is I got this picture of earlier you were talking about, you know, version A and version B of Jen. If I'm only looking to myself and what I'm capable of as my version B, Jen, that's kind of silly to think about that way. I'm never going to reach that, and I'm going to feel that discouragement come on, mm-hmm. because I'm never meeting that.
Because you never get to be.
Because I never get to that. But what I hear you saying is I'm not looking towards version B, Jen. I'm supposed to be looking towards Christ, and he is my picture.
Yep.
He is the one.
Well, and like you said,
it's not a version of me, it's a version of him.
Yeah, and in one way, you're looking at yourself only. Mm-hmm. The other way, you're looking at him. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
Good stuff.
So why don't we give them their new...
We're done already?
Yep.
Oh, man, I want to keep going.
All right. Well, they can keep going.
Okay. With this growth spurt. We thought it would be fun if, since we kicked this off this new year with coming at you every week... we thought every month we would add a new growth spurt section to the end of our podcast. And so what we mean is for 4 weeks, it will basically stay the same. And so we called it a growth spurt because we want to encourage you guys this year to take those extra steps toward growth in your relationship with God, growth in your relationship with your spouse. And so for the month of January, we're going to focus on building trust and building integrity.
By doing what you say you
by
will.
By doing what you say you will. And it kind of goes into that whole New Year commitment thing. I know people do resolutions and things like that. So we want to kind of tag along for this month. But we want to encourage you guys to do what you say you will do.
Let your yes be yes and your no, no.
And this is the first step towards getting rid of that discrepancy in your life, right? Like mm-hmm. if you're someone that struggles in a specific area with discrepancy, let this be one action that you can take to try and close that gap. So it's really easy. You just get a note card or a post-it, put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, and write an area or a sentence on it or whatever, a word, whatever you think is going to help you remember, something that you struggle to commit to, and just make a commitment to do it. Do you want to give a couple of examples? Just that will be easy for husbands and wives.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are committing to diets and exercise. If you say you're going to get up, get up. You give an example of if you say you're going to do something with your kids, do it. Mm-hmm. I told Wyatt tonight, he always wants us to snuggle him.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't tonight. And then I usually say, and he's like, well, can you do it tomorrow night? And I'll say, maybe. But tonight I was like, Wyatt, I will.
So now you got to stick to that.
And I'm going to stick
to
it.
Yeah. We know what Aaron's going to write on his little post-it note. Okay. Yeah. Another one might be like, if you say you're going to be home at this time, be home at this time. If you say you're going to...
That's a big one in marriages, I think.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. Anyways, you guys get the idea. This is to encourage you with doing what you say and closing that gap on discrepancy.
Awesome.
The last thing that we want to do, which we always have done, which we love doing with you guys, is closing out with a prayer. So please join me, us. Dear Lord, thank you for our lives. Thank you for this new year, and thank you for all of the opportunities you will give us this year to grow, to love, and to honor you. We pray we would be paying attention to the ways in which your Holy Spirit is leading us throughout each day. Please help us tune our ears and our hearts to hear your voice. We pray we would take seriously the commitments we make and strive to live with integrity. We pray we would understand who we are in you, and may our choices reflect our belief that you are transforming us. When we realize a discrepancy in our lives, please show us the way to reconcile how we feel and what we choose to do. Lord, please help us to walk uprightly, to honor our marriage, and to fulfill your purpose for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.